For someone with dyslexia, reading can be anything but fun. It's estimated that 1 in 10 adults is dyslexic. Many are undiagnosed and often believe they are incapable of reading, or worse, that they're just dumb. A conference this week is setting out to help public school teachers learn how to help their dyslexic students. At its center is a method that's been largely taught privately for about 80 years, Orton Gillingham. Ronald Yoshimoto is the co-chair of the 3rd Annual Dyslexia and Orton Gillingham Conference for Public School Teachers, and he joins us in our studio now. Hello there. Good to talk to you.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
When we talk about, you know, kids, the stat gets a little worse. It's 1 in 5 children, isn't it?
Yes. Generally in the United States, it's 1 in 5. If you look worldwide, it's about 1 in 10.
That puts a lot of pressure on teachers to be able to know what it is and be able to help a child successfully. How has Hawaii been able to do this, or maybe not as well done as you would like it to be?
I think what's happening is that certain districts have been really good about training teachers. The Campbell Kapolei District, the complex area superintendent, Heidi Strong, has been really good about training the teachers to recognize children who have dyslexia, and also training them to be able to have the strategies to work with these kids and provide them instruction, research-based instruction, so that they can be successful.
When an average person hears the word dyslexia, yeah, the idea of, well, maybe inverting numbers, mm-hmm, or turning, mm-hmm, letters backward, but it's far more than that.
Yeah, it's a really a neurological condition where for the children there's phonological components where they have difficulties in, but it all comes together with just real difficulty with decoding. How do you attack words? Because one of the criteria for being dyslexic is that you're bright. Generally, if you can teach them to decode, they'll get their comprehension. So we need to get them past that decoding and that fluency components that they have difficulty with.
You mentioned that the children are bright.
Mm-hmm.
Very often, though, because they can't read in the same way that their peers can, mm-hmm, they believe that they're dumb, mm-hmm, and they also start to distrust the pictures that they see in their heads. For example, mm-hmm, if they can see a 360 degree of, yeah, an object that you, mm-hmm, and I might only be looking at from one angle. Yeah. How do you begin to deal with a child's self-esteem and willingness to want to learn how to do something that everybody else seems to be able to do easily?
Well, I think you're bringing up a real good point. One of the primary difficulties is if you're having trouble reading and you're not being successful in school, one of the big issues that, you know, teachers face is the self-esteem. So that's why it's so important that we have the right approach. The approach is very structured, very geared to having the kids succeed in the reading process. And so if you have that, then kids can begin to start changing, start to begin that they can read, they can be fluent readers, et cetera. So, but it's the approach and the method, I guess, is the best way to describe it, that makes these kids be more confident of their abilities. And I think for kids who've not been exposed this way, you're right, self-esteem is one of those big issues that goes through the whole school years.
The way in which OG is taught, mm-hmm, is very specific. It's been done for almost 80 years,
yeah,
now, but as we mentioned in the opening, largely done privately, either with a tutor one-on-one, mm-hmm, or in some cases schools that focus only on that. If you had to describe OG to a parent who has really no understanding of it, mm-hmm, aside from the fact that we know that it deals with phonics, mm-hmm, and you're talking about being able to see words and be, mm-hmm, able to decode them. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to actually decode a word or decode reading as such?
Basically, in decoding is that when you see a word, you know what to do relative. Well, number one, you'll know the sounds. So you mentioned phonics. Real critical that they know the phonics. Second is, how do you blend it to form words for reading and also for spelling? Because a lot of the kids have issues both in reading and in spelling. And then how do you then become develop from word fluency then to text fluency, and how to move the kids up in that format for the kids to learn. So it's a very structured approach. You do this first, you teach this first, etc. But there's a lot of repetition, and the repetition is really the key. Oftentimes you have programs that teach you something, but there's no repetition. So naturally they're perceived on in the program, and the kids are falling. And that's why sometimes with the dyslexic kids, they're so bright, they keep falling through the cracks. And the only thing that keeps them moving a little bit is that they're bright. They can develop some strategies. In the meantime, though, as the other kids are moving ahead, they keep falling through the cracks. And this is a great concern, you know, for parents in general, that they know their kids are smart, but why are they falling through the cracks this way?
Was that in some way thwarted by a movement that we had not all that many years ago to allow kids to have inventive spelling as part of their learning?
I think what happened in that movement with the whole language and the inventive spelling was kids were just expected to memorize, basically. And what we're saying is that for maybe 50 or 60% of the kids, not a bad strategy per se. But then you have this whole group of kids where they're just falling. It's not a strategy for them. You have to teach them the basic units.
So why hasn't this come through all schools in Hawaii if this has been so well known and you have a group of teachers that clearly you've been working with various complexes to bring into school?
I think it's gradually coming that way right now. And so when we're doing the OG training, what we tend to focus in is primarily kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. Those are your foundation years in terms of reading. And so if we can get there, then you can also identify the kids and then also at the same time provide remediation very early, which is really what we want to do. So basically now you have schools in Hawaii where they're doing Orton-Gillingham, primarily in those two and also in special education. So we're trying to get more of that happening here. And so the Campbell Kapolei District in particular have been really focusing, Waianae, Nanakuli has also been kind of looking at this approach also for their kids.
But moving this training, moving Orton-Gillingham away from special education as such.
Yeah. What we're trying to do is, yes, special education teachers need a training. That's a given. But two, trying to get the general education teachers trained in it so that they can provide really some research-based strategies for helping all kids read. So the emphasis has shifted more for all kids.
Well, we'll hope for all best outcomes for all kids and look forward to the conference this Thursday. Thank you for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
Ronald Yoshimoto is co-chair of the 3rd Annual Dyslexia and Orton-Gillingham Conference for Public School Teachers. It's this Thursday at the Hawaii Convention Center. Details are on our Facebook page, The Conversation.